and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Savior and I. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over, over again. He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Savior and I. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Amen, amen. If you have your Bible, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to
chapter 1, verses 1 and 2.
And it reads, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for blessing us with this morning, with another opportunity to be able to gather together and to be able to look at your word and be able to share a portion of your word with one another. We pray that this word might minister to our hearts and to our minds. We pray that as a congregation, we might continually be looking to you, Lord, for direction and guidance, instruction for all that we do. We ask that you would help us in those areas that you know where we're weak, that you would strengthen us, that you would continually shower your blessings upon each and every one of us. Lord, there are so many with different needs here on this morning, and we all are coming to you and asking you to meet those needs according to your will and according to your knowledge. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be celebrating next week 5 years of Green Bank Congregation. Amen. Yeah, that's something. That's something. Amen. Something to definitely applaud. But I want to take you back a little bit. I'm not going to go into the details, but there was a time where I was being prepared and trained to go out and preach. At that time, I hadn't gone to school. I was being mentored, which there's no problem with that at all. But I remember kind of dreaming, like, what God, where are you going to send me? Because that's how it was being, you know, put out there. We're going to train you up and then send you out, and then you're going to go to a location, and you're going to start a church. This was all in my training, in my mind. You're going to go out, you're going to start a church where there is no church, you're going to build it from the ground up, et cetera, and we're going to be here to support you, things of that nature. You know, the preacher from where that baptized me, and he was giving me, this is the direction for you, this is what we're going to do with you, and all of that. And then something happened in church. Like I said, I'm not going to go to all the details, but something happened that made us leave. It wasn't just me and my family. It was a number of us. Some of you were in this room. You remember. And we left. We had to leave. We had to leave, right? But we left. And at that moment, I remember the because it felt like the weight was on my shoulders. It felt like the weight was on my shoulders. What are we going to do next? Where are we going to go next? What are we, you know, what next? And it just seemed like the Lord was just opening doors, showing you this a new way and all of that. And we started the First State Church of Christ, and we were meeting in one of the brothers' basement, in his basement, and we just started. I think there was about 15 of us that first meeting. And we just came together and we decided we're going to move forward as a church, as a congregation, the First State Church of Christ. We named it First State Church of Christ because we didn't know where we were going to be. You know, we were in Newcastle. We started out in Bear. We ended up in Newcastle, moved to Wilmington. So in order to kind of cover it all, we said we'll just name it First State. Wherever we are, it's going to be applicable. All right? As long as we don't move out of the First State. All right? I remember the fear that was on me. I'm going to just talk about my experience. Now you're being told to start leading a group of people, leading them out of some troubling situations. Some times where they were looking at the past leader and seeing some things that happened with the past leader, and now they're looking at the present leader and saying, are you going to be like him? Are you going to act like, you know, like that? And any, you know, you ever been in a relationship and even though this is a new person, there's still a little bit of what the other person did to you. All right? And so we had to kind of navigate through all of those different things. And then, you know, after 15 years of First State, then we get another moment where God just says, hey, look, here's another opportunity, right? In every, this is what I'm trying to say. Every moment when God is trying to grow you and elevate you and move you to a new level and all of that, you first got to go through some fire. You first going to go through some fire. When we're talking about change and transition and things of that nature, I want you to just understand that it is uncomfortable. Change is uncomfortable. Why? Because in its very nature, it's saying that we're going to take you out of your comfort and move you to do something completely different. Different than the norm and what you're used to and all of that. Moses had been, that was stability. Everyone knew Moses was the powerhouse. Moses is the man. Moses is stable. We at least know we can continue to go on to Moses. We've got experience with Moses. But Joshua, I don't know. Joshua, in his own mind, is thinking, well, hold on, Moses has been the man all that time. Now you want me? Who am I? And if you look at chapter 1 of Joshua, 3 times God tells him, be strong and courageous. Why? Why? What's the back end of that, scholars out there? Because I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because I'm with you. Recognize that, first of all. Because I'm with you, you can go through these changes. You can go through what seemingly on the outside looks like it might be even meant to destroy you, but you can walk through this because I'm with you. And God's been trying to drill this into Joshua, even through Moses' mouth, before Moses passed. And now that Moses has passed, the Lord comes and shares with him and lets him know and confirms it to him directly. I am with you. See, this book of transitions, Moses dies. Joshua now is given this baton. And now it's his time to run this race. The 40 years in the wandering that Moses had to navigate and the children of Israel through all these different experiences, and now all of a sudden Joshua is getting ready to lead the people into this land that he had never been before, that they had only talked about this all their life. Think 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Think of the stories they told about the time when they would finally enter into this promised land that God had promised them. And now here is Joshua on the precipice, getting ready to enter in and carry the children of Israel into this promised land. But that's the problem. You ain't never been this way before. You've never passed this way before. And that's the challenge of transition, usually. I've never done it that way. I've never gone that way. Matter of fact, I sometimes can't even see it in my own mind's eye. And so oftentimes when change comes, instead of embracing it, we shrink from it. We run away from it. Instead of looking at the positive that come as a result of this, I'd much rather just stay the same and do the same thing we've always done. But I don't know about you, but I know that God is unchanging. His nature is unchanging, but everything I see changes, right? The seasons change. You know, when we are brought into this world, we come in a certain way. When we leave, usually we look a whole lot different than when we first came in. Change is just a part of this life. Well, there wasn't no good, easy transition into this first part, so I'm going to just say it. God's promise of his presence even in the midst of the transitions. That this is a thing that can give us some hope. This is something that as children of God, we can rest upon the fact that God is even with us, even through these different moments where it seems like he wouldn't be. He told Joshua, look, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That's encouragement for us. Look, as parents, teaching, amen, we have a responsibility to teach and train up our children in the way of the Lord. And they're going to be looking at you and I and how it is that we talk to our God, how it is that we worship, how it is that you know that you're going to model what a real Christian looks like to your child. Let me say that again. You said right. I heard you say right, but do you really hear what I'm saying? You are the model for your children. I'm going to say it one more time, all right? I wanted to sink in. You. I know we ought to imitate Christ. You are the model first. You're what they look at first. If you want their game to up, level up, guess what you need to do? Amen. Level up your game. Right? This is our responsibility. Anyway, as I was with Moses, what I'm saying is, look, Moses had his opportunity. Mom and daddy, they had their opportunity. Their faith is well grounded. They've gone through the trials and the fires and all of that. They've gone through those things. And then they've been looking at you while you've been going through those things. Your children looking at you going through those and how you respond. Do we respond in prayer? In times of crisis, do we break? Are we in the room and shutting everyone else out and just playing the Phyllis Hyman songs? Yeah, y'all don't know nothing about that. Those old sad songs and just keep playing. No, is that how we respond? Or do they see us doing, instead of email, some email, getting on your knees and talking and taking our petitions to God? Do they see, is that what they're left with, that impression? Because the reason why I'm telling you this is Moses left an impression for Joshua. Moses was a leader. He led in such a way that his influence influenced a nation as well as Joshua even long after he was gone, and still influences us as we read the scriptures about him. So he says, the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. He says, have I not commanded, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God promised his presence even through the midst of all of the stuff that we're going through. He's going to be there. You remember Jesus telling his disciples, lo, I am with you. When? How often? Always, even until the end of the world. So he's saying, I am not going to leave you. And even those times where it feels like you are alone and all that, I'm still right there. Open your eyes. God, you know, there are so many times where the problem is there so big, just like Peter walking on that water. He takes his eyes off Jesus and he looks at all the problems that are around and he begins to sink. And oftentimes we don't see God because of the same things. We're looking at the problems, not the problem solver. We're looking at how big the storm is and not how big our God is, the God of the storm is. He wants us to put our focus on him, not on what's going on. And he's promising, I'll be with you even during those dark times. I'll be there. And here's the blessing. God will grow you even through those experiences. The Lord said to Joshua, that this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they might know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I don't know if you've ever gone and got a promotion at your job and all of that, but there's an adjustment period when you first take that on. I remember when I was at the bank and I was being promoted as supervisor, and all of a sudden there were some necessary changes that had to be made in even how I related to certain people. You know, I mean, no more could we just sit down, at the lunchroom with, how do I put this? With peers, yeah, I'm trying to make it really nice. But you're kind of in a different class. You can't fraternize a certain way and things that you used to do. Why? Because now all of a sudden you have a different responsibility. You have, and with that responsibility comes different things also. But the point is, what God wants to do is move us sometimes out of one situation into the next, recognizing that as I move you out of this, there's going to be some adjustment period when you get to this next level. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to say, I can no longer do that anymore. There are some things I'm going to have to now embrace as part of this new role that I had never done before. Because now you're at a different place, there's a different expectation, right? Moses, Joshua, well, let's just talk about us. We go through things in life. And in life, we might get custom and accustomed to things going one way. Pretty much, I can pretty much tell you on day-to-day, basically about what's going to happen, right? Basically, your days, you kind of understand basically about what's going to happen. I know the details change every day, but overall, it's pretty general. You might get up and go to a certain place for a certain amount of time and then get off and have a lunch at a certain time and then come back to, home and whatever your schedule is. You're accustomed to that. And then in just one moment, something could change, disrupt every single thing. I want you to see this. He's saying, look, this day I'm going to begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel that they might know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He's saying, look, when I was with Moses, I provided for Moses, I led Moses, I instructed Moses, Moses followed after, and there was a blessing that came after that blessed him and the whole nation as well. And he's now God's talking to Joshua saying, look, you too, I'm going to do the same with you. Here's the other thing I want us to see here. Exaltation comes from who? God. God lifts us up. God lifts up those. And here's the beautiful thing, because here's a model that I think everyone needs to understand, that first of all was modeled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? If you humble yourself, what does the Lord promise to do? To exalt you, right? All right? If we exalt ourselves, God will humble us. But if we humble ourselves, if we come in the form of a servant, then God will exalt you. And I want you to just think about that principle for just a moment, because God's desire is to exalt us. The ultimate exaltation will be that moment when we're all, that ultimate sanctification, when we're all brought before God, where we're all have to sit at the mercy seat of God, where we all are going to be judged. Some will get a reward, some will get punishment, but at that moment, right? God wants to grow us and exalt us and get us to this place. But oftentimes what happens, we're resistant to his change, right? I want things to stay the same. And even when I see things slightly going off the pattern, I'm trying to rein it in and bring it back into. You know what I mean? You know, this snow came and disrupted some stuff, but guess what we did? We went outside and we plowed it because we want to make sure, I want to get it back to the standard. I want to get it back to the way things were. And yet sometimes God, he don't want to just shovel the snow. He wants to take you to Florida. You are living in the Bahamas and Hawaii right now. Anybody ready to sign up for that one? God, you know, God. I'm laughing at this because sometimes what God will do is give you something that you never even thought of. God will make you grow in an area where you never even, you know, you weren't dreaming for, you weren't thinking for it, and then all of a sudden you just fall into it, and you're like, this must be you, God. This must be you, God. And I haven't, I've told you guys many times already, that's where I feel this place was for me. The Green Bank Church of Christ was for me. I believe this was a God-ordained thing. This was something that God was trying to help us make some changes and moves, and we had no idea. You didn't have an idea. I didn't have an idea. I didn't think about you. You didn't think about me in that sense. You know what I mean? But guess who? This didn't surprise God. God was in the midst of this all, I mean, from the very foundation of the world, he already knew this was going to happen. Isn't that just amazing? And God grows us and gets us to these places, but for what though? For what? He wants to use us in a mighty way. And look what he says here. I'm laying behind you here blessings and cursings. I'm setting beside you blessings and cursings. Oh, really what he's saying is obey me. I don't know. I'm shifting this sermon a little bit, but I'm gonna keep going in this direction, because I just remember, since we're talking about the our anniversary and us coming together and all that, and I just remember going to Brother King's house one day. I remember going to Brother King's house, and I'm just scratching my head about this situation, about the congregations, two congregations merging together. About I don't know if it's is it a good idea? You think we ought to do this? You think this thing of God? You think, you know, what problems could exist as a result of it? So I'm throwing all that stuff out there. And I remember Brother King said, look, if God brought you to it, something like that. And he says, he brought an Old Testament story about striking the ground. I'm going to let him tell it better, because he'll fill it in a little bit better. But the key here was a motivation. Said, look, if God brought you to this, yeah. If we didn't think this up, it's got to be of God. Strike the ground. Let's go for it. Let's go after it. If the Lord closes the door, then he closed the door. Then it wasn't meant for us. But if that door's still been open, and it has been for 5 years, praise God, we're here. And this has been a great work from God, and we just pray that it continues to be a great work for God. Amen. Now, how I'm going to finish the sermon, I don't know, but I will. I'm going to finish it right here. I remember when I was thinking of ministry once again, I share with you that my idea was I was going to be planted somewhere, start a church, you know, grow it, whatever. And I ended up starting a church. It just wasn't the way... Or starting a congregation rather. I know where I'm at. Hold on a second. I started a congregation, y'all. But the fear, the joy, the excitement of the journey, you know, even till today, all the lives that we've been able to touch, all the people we've been able to, you know, minister to, you know, all of it is so fulfilling. There's the word I'm looking for, fulfilling. It's not easy, but it's fulfilling. When you know that what you're sharing with people is the truth of God's word, when you, look, I don't want nothing from you. I mean, I'm not trying to, we're not trying to get in people's pockets and turn them upside down. And, you know, we're not trying to hurt people with the word, because these things I've seen in other churches, you know, and to know that, yeah, we're not perfect. We got our flaws just like everyone else. But no, but the desire to serve the community, to serve people, to serve God is true and it's here and it's in your hearts and it's in mine. And I just love the fact that God has brought it so that we can all come together to be able to serve and be able to do this. And if I just leave one thing on this weird sermon that kind of just went all over the place, it's this: don't forsake and don't forget God. Let's continue to trust in him. Let's continue. He ain't, what do they say? He brought me too far to leave me right now. You know, he done brought us too far right now to let us go right now. And if you think about the children of Israel, isn't that their situation? 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, getting ready to now enter in new challenges, new opportunities, new failures and successes. But yet, even every step of the way, who was with them? God was still with them. God was still parting seas. As they had heard these stories before, over 40 years ago, and now in their lifetime, God splits the Jordan River, just like he did the Red Sea for them. Now they get an experience that their parents, their forefathers never had. Now their God is now our God. And he's doing miracles now in our lives. These weren't just things that we read in the book. You know, sometimes we read these in the Bible. They're applicable to us. I mean, this is a story that has our names written all over it also. And so what the Lord wants us to do is just trust him. The children of Israel, if they just kept trusting him, they wouldn't have been in that wilderness predicament. And then even after a fact, we just keep trusting them. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I know when the storms come and all that, our minds are all over the place. Should I quit? Should I run? Should I do this? Should I hurt? Should I hit back? Should I this? Should I accuse you? All these things start flooding our minds and all of that. When the storm is there, and yet the Lord is still saying, trust me, trust me. You going through change? I'm the constant. All right? I know that the atmosphere, everything in the atmosphere is changing, but I'm the constant. Continue to look to me. And I'll leave that as that PowerPoint. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and you know that it's time for you to make the greatest change, to bring Jesus into your life. Here's a promise that Jesus, that Paul gives to us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In Christ, he makes you new. Whatever the old stuff was, whatever sins you had committed, whatever has happened in the past, you can just leave it right there in that past. The Lord wants to remake you, recreate you, to make you new. Won't you come to him today and get in Christ so that he can make you new? For as many, it says, has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Romans 6:3 says, don't you know all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So those who have been put on Christ, you put on Christ in baptism, according to Galatians 3:27. In Romans 6:3, it says that all of us baptized into Christ were also baptized into his death. In other words, Jesus dies, Jesus is buried, Jesus rose. You, this morning, can die to your sins and decide, look, I no longer want to follow after my own passions and my own desires and my own will and my own intellect and my own direction. I need someone who knows more to lead me. And that's exactly what the Lord desires to do. And so you can come right now, put your hand in his hand and surrender to Jesus Christ. Because, see, being in Christ, look at all the blessings. You're going to get spiritual blessings, redemption, forgiveness of sins, no condemnation. You're going to be a new creation. You're going to have salvation and eternal life. All of that is by putting on Jesus Christ today. If you're ready to make this decision for him, he's ready to shower blessings upon you. If you're ready for that, to make that decision, won't you come today? Won't you come right now? We've got water ready. We've got clothes ready. Got everything ready. If you're ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ today in baptism, all things are ready. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Come from the loathsome way of sin. I